We are also going to look at Hebrews chapter 5. And if y'all are still with me, 2 Corinthians 6. It'll move faster than you think. I was in my truck yesterday and I rode by a store and it said, huge inventory sale. I knew enough about this store that, as most stores, but I had heard, I knew that going by this store in past years that they were closed at the beginning of the year for inventory's sake. So they were having a huge inventory sale because they didn't want to count it. Has anybody ever taken part of the inventory process? Now keep that hand up. If you've taken part in inventory process, now, has anybody ever taken part in the inventory process and liked it? Yeah. Good. Good. I was really gonna have the safety team remove you because I can't deal with you if that's how your mind works. No, I'm just kidding. You know, we've already spent all of our money. I had this bright idea a couple years ago. I told Christine, I said, hey, how would you like to get triple for Christmas of what you were going to get? How would you like? I told the whole family, it's when Michaela was still at home, how would y'all like to get triple? They were like, yes. And I said, okay, but that means we can't buy anything until after Christmas. But the week after Christmas, the same money, you'll get triple. And they were like, no. And I thought I was on to something. I thought the Morgans were getting ready to switch gear and act like we're rich. You know, that's my little joke sometimes. If we ever get anything that's like kind of nice, I always say, we rich. But inventory sale is great if you haven't spent all your money at Christmas, because they got all of that stuff in expectation to sell it. Now they don't want to carry that into the new year. See where I'm going with this? What in 2025 do you have in your life that you don't want to carry into 2026? I'm not talking about spouses, children, certain things. We're not talking about that. We're carrying those things. It's a joy, right? But what will I take with me from 2025 into 2026? That really deserves some thought. That deserves some look at. What have you settled for spiritually? Hopefully nothing. What have you come into agreement with spiritually? Hopefully you got a good answer for that. Are you at a standstill spiritually in your life? And if so, why? You know those questionnaires that you get? If you answer it a certain way, you can move to the next question. But if you answer it in a particular way that they don't like, it says, if so, why? Right? Some things need to be dealt with. If so, why? That's not a good title for a sermon, so I called this Ready for a Reset. How many of you are ready for a reset? There's some things that were wonderful about 2025. There's some things 2025 I'm ready for a reset on, just be honest. I'm just ready for a reset with it. Amen? So let's get into this. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1 through 5. Says this, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Those five verses are very powerful verses. Because he's telling them, there's a way that you lived when you were in captivity. Israelites were in captivity in Egypt. That bondage is a picture of sin in our lives. As a matter of fact, they were slaves to Egypt, like we can become enslaved to sin in our lives. And he said, the things that you did in Egypt, you're not going to do where I'm taking you. There should be a difference before Jesus in our lives and after Jesus in our lives. Amen. But here's the kicker. He said, now, I'm taking you to a place, and when you get to that place, you're not going to do those things either. You're not going to do what everybody else is doing in that place either. You have to be very careful. When he brings you out of sin, he probably usually takes you to a church. A lot of churches today, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but a lot of churches today have a culture, have their own culture, have their own thing, have their own experience. But just because God is bringing you out doesn't mean that he wants you to get invested into another culture. Let me tell you your culture. His word. That's it right there. He said, you're not going to be like you were. I saw how you were. But you're not going to be how they are either. You're going to do what I said to do. And that is what you're going to do. Big pill for some folks. To be honest, it's a big pill for everybody. If you look at chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, just like the chapter 18, and the Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Bear with me, I'm still struggling just a little bit. You could sum up Leviticus in that term right there, that verse. Be holy because I am holy. God is not suggesting something here. He's not requesting something. He's saying, take this action. Be holy. Be separated unto me. I, the Lord your God, am holy. Holy. And he's speaking to the children of Israel. We first find out about Israel in chapter 32 when Jacob gets his name changed to Israel. You remember that he wrestled all night with the angel. And when morning broke or was breaking, the angel said, let me go. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said, what is your name? And he said, it's Jacob. He said, now your name's going to be called Israel because you have struggled with God and you've struggled with men, but you've overcome. Very deep who that angel might have been right there. Very deep. But Israel means struggle. And in that, did you know that? Israel means struggle. I know some of you knew it. Israel. Israel means to struggle. Children of Israel. Do you know that we've been grafted in? If anybody ever told you that following the Lord was going to be the easiest thing that you've ever done, they are lying to you. Israel's called struggle, but it is also in that reference right there, children of Israel, that Jacob changed, his name was changed to Israel. That was also changed to Prince with God. So there's a struggle to get to the place, but there is a place that he has for you that is exalted above where you're at right now. See that? but there's still struggle. Because there's this flesh and there's this spirit that he's told us about in the New Testament, and they are always going to be against each other, and they are never going to get along. Why? Because they can't. The Bible says they cannot. It says it's not possible for them to get along. And since you are human, you're always going to have that inside of you. And if you're a Christian, you're going to have his spirit living inside of this flesh. And there will be this pull inside of you. We are not so holy that we glow at night. It takes work, and it's not always easy work. And go back to what I said. Are you ready for a reset? Are you ready to look? Are you ready to take inventory? Are there things that you need to get out of your life? I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we would say, I'm doing okay, but improvement. I've said this many times before, but when I was in grade school, back in the days when it wasn't A, B, C, D, or F, in those days it was E, S, and N. Excellent, satisfactory, N, not satisfactory. Remember those days? I know you remember it, Miss Nan. You taught in those, some of that. That you put that, you gave some kids some E's, some S's, and you probably had some little John Morgans running around class that got those N's from time to time. But we had, past that, we had a conduct grade. Now, if there was any redemption at all in my E, S, and N, I didn't need it if I had an E, but my parents were a little tough. Satisfactory, I'm thinking that's great. But they're looking at me like, satisfactory, let's bring it up. I want to see that S move to an E. I remember my dad saying things like that. But that conduct grade might have been a place where I got by with a little bit right there. Like, if I had good conduct, it'd be like, well, at least you got that. But sometimes the teacher would put a little note on my conduct. She'd say, Johnny is a good student, but he'd probably be a better student if he didn't talk to Levi so much. Throw me right under the bus. Thank you. I got an E, I got the grade, but I talked to Levi too much. Conduct. Well, our conduct matters. We could talk about that. But we need to improve. There are areas in our life that need improvement, for sure. So I want to look at, go ahead and move over to Hebrews chapter 5, because I want to ask you a question about that. The God of the Old Testament, if you look at Leviticus, if you read Leviticus, I've been in Leviticus, I'm trying to get a little jump. I've been in Leviticus, and it is amazing what God required of his people. But there were such pagan practices around that he wanted a distinct people, and he had a distinct blessing for his people, and he had incredible requirements of his people. If you're going to be my people, this is what's going to be required of you. And the sacrifices look in depth, and they would bring a sacrifice, and they would take the blood, and they would put some blood on the right ear and the right thumb and the right toe. Can you imagine doing that for millions of people? And it was a requirement. But if you looked at the sacrifices that were going on in pagan rituals, burning children, burning them, sounds horrible, doesn't it? What about aborting children? I'll keep moving. That sounds horrible too. Because my question is, the God that had so many requirements then, do you think that he slacked off now that we have a new covenant? Because that was all about covenant, but now we have a new and better covenant. But that doesn't mean that it's not, that it's easy. And we've made a lot of things easy. And I just wonder to myself, is that God where it said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, the same forever? God Almighty, it's his requirements. Could it be that he still holds tight to some things that we've loosened up on? Y'all are awfully quiet today, and I'm glad. Let me just read just three verses right here. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Read the last one again. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is interpreted mature. That is those, the mature, who by reason, you don't just get off on being mature spiritually. There's something else that goes with it. Those who are full age, that is those who by reason of use, in other words, action, in other words, practice, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I was talking to Walker on the way to church because we practice volleyball about every day. And I told him, I said, you know, there was a time when I was an athlete. That time is gone. But I was telling him as we were going through drills and stuff in our backyard, I was just telling him, I said, you know, there's so much to it. And I had a coaching background, so I can watch him and pick out the things that he's forgetting about or the fundamentals. And I said, the reason that you practice every day is to get all of those intricate things inside of you to where it becomes second nature. Muscle memory. You've trained yourself everything that goes into hitting that ball and striking it, coming down exactly right. You don't have to think, I just missed that. It becomes second nature to where the movement is perfect. And because we're not robots, we're going to make mistakes. But practicing the same thing gets us to where we are the best that we can be humanly. Well, that applies to our life spiritually. Because if all we do is come in here on Sundays and get what I got for you, I can tell you that that's not enough. There's a personal responsibility to it. Who, the mature, who by practice have been able to discern things that are good and evil. I want, that right there tells me that I can be tricked in that area. The good and the evil, not just the evil, the good. Let me just throw this one at you. Do you know what the enemy of great is? Good. You got it. You would think the enemy of great is evil. No, the enemy of great is good. Settling. Why settle? He's calling us up. Does he not call it the upward call? Not the settling call? So my question is, God was serious then. Do you think he's less serious now? I don't. And if following Christ is what he's called us to be, disciples. Disciples are those that follow Christ, but they're more than that. What is a disciple of Christ, and what does it look like? Like, I'm just going to give you just a couple of things in my dig. A disciple is to be a learner accompanied by thought and endeavor. It means that a follower means that you are not the teacher, but you are one who follows one's teaching as the disciples. Does your life indicate that you're following a teacher? It's just a question. Does it indicate that you're following? In a wide sense, have you become adherent disciples abide in his word. Are you abiding in his word? Have you become adherent? In other words, do you obey? Do you obey his word? I could cut to the chase of everything and say, that's what it will come down to. And you could say, Pastor John, you were pretty rough that last service. Good. If I could do you anything that proved to you how much I loved you, it would be to say, you don't need somebody in your life that's always going to tell you how good you're doing. You need to be challenged. I need to be challenged, especially today. I need to be honed to be able to discern what is good and evil. And the only way that can happen is if I stay in his word. If I'm going to be his disciple, I've got to be in his word. I have to obey his word. Those that believed and confessed him, a disciple was not only a pupil, but an adherent. Hence, they are spoken of as imitators of their teacher. I'm just telling you, I got plenty of room to improve. If you don't think I have room to improve, ride with your pastor in his truck in Charlotte traffic. Your pastor's got room to improve. And all my family would say, amen. I have learned, though, to let people on my nerves get past me, and I call them now decoys. I'm like, go, decoys. Go. Go, decoys. Clear the highway for me. So 2026, what will happen? Will it just be another date change? Well, the only thing that looks different is the date changed, and you'll be in the middle of February if y'all still write checks, signing them as February 22nd, 2025, and then you're like, oh, it's 2026. I don't want my life to be in February just, oh, man, I wanted that to change. I was hoping that would change. I'd hope I'd do better. Let me just get you to turn to one more thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So I think that the thing that I preach on that helps you the most is probably the area of our spirit and our flesh and our identity and who we are in Christ. And where the rubber meets the road is where the spirit and the flesh is. Actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 7, if you look at verse 11 through chapter 7, verse 1, I want to read that for you. Paul's speaking to the Corinthians, and he says, O Corinthians, speaking of the disciples, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. In other words, I'm not telling you something and you got to obey me. You're not moving forward. It's because this is what it takes to move forward for anybody. I'm not restricting you. Your lack of doing this is what's restricting you. That's a very powerful statement. And that puts the onus on the person, not on the teacher. And I don't have any right to give you opinion. I really have right to just give you what his word says. You're not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. I'm open, you be open. Now, in return for the same, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement, there's the word right there, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. And I'm not going to read that yet. I'm just going to say, first thing I wrote down when I put this together, and I've marked it out, and I'm telling you, that is marks out. I marked it out, had the scripture reference. I came back and marked the scripture reference out so I wouldn't get it confused with my other scripture references. I marked it out, I marked it out, I marked it out, and then I went back with other markers and marked it out so I wouldn't touch it. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to look through my markers and touch it and read it. What agreement? What fellowship? What are you letting in? Because if we read that, we could look at it like, well, I'm not yoked up with anybody that I shouldn't be yoked up with. That's not always talking about people. Let me ask you this. This is what I wrote. If somebody came to your house and just unloaded all their trash right there into your living room, would it upset you? Would you say anything to them? Or is it possible that all your trash came through that and gather all the family and let's watch the trash? Or privately, I'll just privately enjoy the trash. Somebody put trash in my living room, I'd deal with that thing. But what is trash? What have we come into agreement with? What have we allowed in 2025 that we shouldn't be allowing? At some point, we got to call a stop to some things if we're going to be holy. That's an individual call. And you can call it, men, you call it for your family. Don't call it for your family and dabble privately. This is the, if I had an amenometer, this would be, that thing would be over there rusted out today. It's all right. He said this, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, see, there's a therefore. He gives you the promises, but then there's a responsibility that comes with that. Come out from among them and be separate. He's still saying what he said in the Old Testament. Separate means holy. Be ye holy as his children, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I told Walker there's a reason that practice is hard. If you got to the place where you practiced and you practiced and you practiced and you got everything to where it was just second nature, I said, if you got everybody on the team doing that, then you would be a team that no one could handle. If the body of Christ got into the presence of the Lord, so much so that we stayed in the presence of the Lord, that we recognized outside of the presence of the Lord, we're not distinguished from any other people, but only through the presence of the Lord, as was said in the Old Testament by Moses, without your presence, God, how will we be distinguished from any other people? Be holy as he is holy. He's calling for that. He's still calling for that. And he says, if you'll do it, I'll receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and the daughters and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, so here comes another therefore. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all unfilthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So a requirement is to cleanse ourselves. There's a responsibility I have for me. There's a responsibility that you have for you. And I can't cleanse you, and you can't cleanse me. And it's not just a physical flesh cleansing. It's flesh and spirit perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I look at it like this. Perfect holiness is being perfected in two dimensions, the spirit and the flesh. Now, I grew up in a denomination, and we put a heavy emphasis on getting the flesh cleaned up. Women couldn't wear pants. Pastor's wife got on pants. Women couldn't wear earrings. Pastor's wife got on earrings, necklace. Women couldn't wear makeup. Some of y'all young people are like, what? Women couldn't wear makeup. Pastor's wife got on makeup. Women couldn't wear rings. Women couldn't even wear a wedding band. Couldn't paint them nails either, babe. That saved me some money. I should be amen in that one. Women couldn't cut their hair, beautiful silver hair. I was like, God wants women to be ugly. I visited folks in the hospital. Let me just be clear. I'm good with makeup. I say put it on. Wear it. Wear it. All that meant to me, we had this thing called camp meeting where the pastors and everybody that could came for a year, and a lot of them would actually camp. Be 3,000-4,000 people. They had seating for 3,500 people, call it the tabernacle. And then they had camping, and they'd, man, it would be incredible. It'd be incredible. Then I realized in 1 year's time, my grandmother, who I watched nightly brush her hair, she had one of them old silver brushes. I think it was silver. And she would start here, and she would brush her hair all the way down. It went down to her knees. And in 1 year, all of a sudden, her and Papa, my Papa organized 41 of those churches, 41 of those churches, 41 of those churches. They would leave camp meeting early because they were going to go to a restaurant that had a bar. They weren't going to the bar, but had a bar because that was a thing too. You couldn't go to any restaurants that had a bar because they served beer, so you couldn't go in. Tell you how crazy this was. But in 1 year, it just messed me up. She cut her hair, I mean, like, whoom, like there. Cut it there. And she started wearing earrings, and she went and bought a wedding band after like 60 years of marriage. She left camp meeting early to go eat out. And then I heard that they're going to go catch a movie. And I was like, you could have stood me behind a jet on the tarmac, been less affected by what I was seeing. And I remember as a kid saying something I shouldn't have said, but I had to say it. I said, I guess God changed his mind. You talk about changing the atmosphere. But it also caught him off guard. It's like, uh-oh. But the truth is, none of that stuff mattered. But we were trying to perfect our flesh. I remember we had a softball team in the church. First year we'd ever had a softball team. And somebody stood up in church and said, we ain't going to have no softball team. They serve beer at ball games and stuff like that. And I was like, it was a full-blown thing in the church. Full-blown. I remember as a kid being scared and crying because my dad was a pastor. I'm like, are they going to hang him? What are they going to do to him? And I remember a little lady, because I remember my dad said this from the pulpit. He stepped back from the pulpit. He said, okay, You can say what you want to say, but everybody can say what they want to say. Go ahead and say it. And then it just became line, a line, a line. I remember somebody got mad, threw their stuff, and left the church. And this little lady on the second row, she said, "Pastor, can I say something?" She said, "If we don't have something for them, they're going to get on drugs, get on stuff." And people started laughing at her. She was correct. I grew up in that stuff. So I had a part of me that always had to say, but the Bible says, spirit and flesh. Cleanse my flesh, yes, but cleanse my spirit. Can I tell you what got to pass? Cleansing the spirit and all of that. Because jealousies, envies, and strife, they had a seat at the front of the church. You remember walking into churches and you saw somebody's Bible and their shawl? Y'all remember that across? That was their seat, and you better not be in it. Because cleansing the spirit was too hard. It was easier just to put on a look for everybody to fit into a hierarchy. Am I saying anything to anybody this morning? It comes down to this. What am I going to take this year into next year? We are making opportunities for all of us to grow. We're going to spend a few weeks in January looking at different ways that people study the Bible. Allowing people to say, well, I do this, I use resources, different things that might help you. We're not saying that you've got to study the Bible just like Jules does, or Michaela does, or Logan does. We're not saying that. But we're going to allow some people to say, hey, I've grown, and this is how the Lord's helping me, and this is what's helping me, and look at different versions and translations and things. And then we're going to look like we've been doing this past year at different verses of the Bible, like chapters, but verse by verse, expository, breaking it down so that we know what the Word of the Lord says. Can I tell you that there, I could give you example after example that would make you scratch your head and say, why do I think of that scripture as being this way only because you've been taught it's that way and it didn't even mean that at all? Time after time, I saw, just one more quick story. We had that same camp meeting, they'd have pastors, because we needed to let everybody say something. They'd have pastors for the whole week get up, and it'd be time for the offering. And it would be just a little bitty sermonette before they preach, and it would be this. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Now pass those offering plates, and let's fill them up for the Lord. That scripture has zero to do with finances. Nothing. Am I telling the truth? Nothing to do with finances. But it was preached that way because it worked. And God's word is never to be manipulated because it's true. And if you really understood who God was, giving is, you need some instruction on it, yeah, just to figure out just enough, how do I give? What do I do? Because it'd be inside of you. I want to do that. I want to do that. It comes down to this. You're going to do what you want to do, and you're going to live in obedience to His word, or you're going to live the way you want to. That's true for everybody. That's true for me. I'm either going to live according to His word like it said. You will be blessed if you live by it. What did he say? He said that. You do this, be holy as I am holy, and that you live by that. There's a way to live. There's instruction for it. We're going to dig it out. We're going to take weeks. We're going to take Saturdays. It's going to cost us something. But it's going to be worth it. Because all I want to know about the Word of God is that I understand what it's trying to say. so that I can live by it. I don't want to live wrong by it. Heavenly Father, I pray that the notebooks that I filled up with instruction from your word, I pray that the messages that I've preached, and I pray that only what has been right out of your word go with us. Anything extra that I've put on, we don't need any of that. But we have to have what you